Sail Into the Light of Day. Written by Eshlantier. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, Natsume Yujincho. Natsume's Book of Friends. Rating General Audiences, No Archive Warning Supply. Relationship, Fujiwara Toko and Natsume Takashi. It goes like this. First, there's a gaggle of hopeful yokai by his window in the middle of the night. Willow-like figures with long spindly fingers and thrilling, sad voices. And of course his grandmother bested each separately and wrote each name down. They're sisters, they sing, one echoing each other, sisters, sisters. Nyanko-sensei does grumble that they can come back in the morning and be none the worse. But Natsume can never make himself send them away. It's too painful to know that he can set somebody free and doesn't. So he breathes his will into the old paper, dissolving the ink marks, and by the third one freed, it's an effort, and by the fifth one, it's painful, and by the sixth and last, he folds forward, way too used to the sensation of losing consciousness. Of course, then he oversleeps, then rushes around madly, fumbling with buttons and books and pens, and of course, he's clattering down the stairs when the familiar wave of wooziness overwhelms him, and he falls down and lands badly and breaks his wrist. In full view of Toko-san, no less. All of this was yesterday. Hospital visit, bulky cast, Toko-san worrying about the dizzy spells, blood work, and the old doctor peering into his eyes and throat and ears, and pointed questions about his eating and sleeping habits. Natsume's embarrassed, evasive, mumbling reply. Back at home, Nyanko-sensei gives him a disdainful look, but he does curl up on Natsume's chest later at night, helping him not to move around too much, and he's warm and purring. And Toko-san brings him pain pills and water and a finger food dinner and a compress for his aching head. At least Shigeru-san was away on a work trip, and at least nobody knocks on Natsume's window in the middle of the night. He spends a quiet, if feverish, night and wakes up to a silent, empty house. Natsume creeps down the stairs like a sheepish ghost, arm in the sling, head heavy with headache and woozy fatigue, resigned to undeserved concerns. There's a covered breakfast on the table, and a note from Toko-san telling him she's away shopping, and will be back soon. Don't leave the house, and don't try to clean. It's heavily underlined, and Natsume smiles at the paper. He carries the bowls to the sink anyway, one after another, except that he gets dizzy and almost drops the third one. Natsume's getting angry with himself, mostly for the stab of fear, the momentary hollowness in the pit of his stomach. Toko-san wouldn't care if he broke all the dishes in the house. He knows that. It's still... He goes to sit on the terrace, wishing that Nyanko-sensei was by his side instead of snoring in the middle of his room upstairs. They're both tired. The Willow sisters were the last of 2 solid weeks of yokai coming for their names, some humble and polite, some belligerent. And Natsume can feel the bone-deep exhaustion in his bones, the honeyed heaviness of his thoughts, the trembling weakness in his fingers. The old doctor hummed and hawed and talked about anemia and growth spurts, but Natsume knows it's just the price of living in 2 worlds, with never enough time for even one of them. He should probably text Tanuma or Taki and do some homework. The teachers are kind, but every lesson he can't help but sleep through or be absent from tends to snowball into academic disaster down the line. And somewhere ahead, exams loom. He can't let Toko-san and Shigeru-san down by graduating badly, but... Natsume stays where he is, watching the sky. It's oppressively hot and strangely silent. The clouds creeping towards the sun are tinted dirty yellow as if they're full of sand. He watches them, sweat sliding down his back, and thinks that if a yokai were to appear right now and ask something else of him, he would, freedom or not, responsibility or not, tell them to come back next week. Maybe an hour later, the yard gate opens, and Natsume balls his good hand into a fist. But it's just Toko-san's slight, welcome figure, and he scrambles to his feet to take the grocery bags from her before remembering about his arm. No, no, sit back down. Your arm. Oh, Takashi-kun, shouldn't you be in bed? I'm glad you're getting some fresh air, though. How are you feeling? Have you eaten? He sits back down, smiling, always helplessly undone by her. By how much she cares, still unbelievably, about the smallest things. A broken wrist is nothing. A fall is nothing. By all rights, she should be annoyed by him, not worried for him. Toko-san, still talking, plops next to him, fans herself and rummages in her bags. It's going to rain soon, is it not? What weird weather. But look what I found in the supermarket. She emerges, triumphant, with something round and dark red. Natsume peers at it, and slowly recognizes it as a pomegranate. I read up a bit, and they're supposed to be good for iron, Toko-san says. I mean, I picked up your supplements, too, but it's always good to eat something real, too. I've never tried one. What about you? Me neither, Natsume says. The pomegranate's skin is smooth, rich, covered with fine, lighter veins. The top of the fruit looks like a little crown. It's heavy and solid in his hand, and he can't help bringing it to his face, inhaling the unfamiliar, sharply sweet smell. How do you eat it? Toko-san laughs. Let's share it. You sit here. Just give me a moment to get everything sorted out. She disappears into the kitchen. Natsume feels another wave of dizziness, and is grateful to be sitting down. He'll never stop being astonished at how generous Toko-san is with her care, how careless with it. All the people he stayed with, even the ones who didn't mind him much at first, until he started having incidents, or staring into space, or jumping at the noises that nobody else saw, never let him forget that he was somebody they were saddled with, an unwanted, heavy responsibility. He understood that, and never complained about the second-hand clothes, cheapest possible pens and notebooks and school bags, ugly, practical shoes. Everything he couldn't go without was given grudgingly. Everything he could go without, he, well, went without. Toko-san going to the shop early in the morning to bring him something just on the off chance that it will make him feel better was... And here it is, Toko-san declares, back with a plate. She puts it on the warm wood, and they both lean down to study the halved pomegranate between them. Jeweled seeds packed tightly into leathery skin, darkly gleaming. Oh, how lovely. Well, let's tuck in. She works out a first seed and pops it in her mouth. The seeds around it burst, immediately painting her fingers red. She makes a face at the taste, half delighted, half affronted. It's sweet, but also bitter somehow. Takashi-kun, wait, let me get some seeds for you. She digs them out for him, building a small pile of pomegranate beads on the plate, and Natsume ducks his head, grateful for not having to ask. The first bite is kind of bitter, but also bright, like a prickly piece of sunlight, here and gone. The seed leaves behind a tiny core, and Toko-san outright laughs at whatever is on his face. How is it? Great, he says, and laughs, too. His headache is fading. They spit the tiny cores out into their palms at the same time, and laugh some more. And then just sit there for a while, eating sunlight. When the pomegranate is nothing but sweet-smelling skin and a pile of tiny cores, Natsume feels lighter than he has in a while, as if he was thoroughly washed and scrubbed from the inside. And from that lightness, he asks, Toko-san, do you really... Hmm? The tips of Toko-san's fingers are stained red, and she's smiling so gently at him that he changes the question he knows the answer to already, to one that he doesn't. No. Toko-san, why do you not mind all that trouble? Me, he thinks. Why do you not mind me? How can you not mind me? She's still smiling, looking at him, but her eyes become sad, and he hates himself bitterly for not keeping his mouth shut. Never mind, he says, hurried. Never mind, I... Takashi-kun, Toko says gently, and he shuts up. Oh, Takashi, I wish so much. I wish we'd found you earlier. Natsume swallows painfully. It's okay. You couldn't. She reaches out and takes his good hand. It's okay that it's hard for you to believe me, she says. Because we took so long. But believe me, please, I don't mind the trouble. Because any kind of trouble just means that you're here with us. And that we can try to help. And we will always try. And when we can't help, we'll be with you anyway. He can't look at her. He ducks his head, stares at their tangled palms. It's impossible to believe her, of course. As impossible as learning to fly. But he has flown in the sky. And he believes her. Okay, he says, and breathes out, long and exhausted. He tips his head up and sees that the yellowish clouds have dissipated. Wind is rising, gentle, and Tolko-san's laundry is billowing like sails in the yard. Okay, he says again. Come on, he thinks at himself, impatient. All those yokai can do it, so you can do it too. It can't be more difficult than asking for your name. I liked the pomegranate a lot, he makes himself say, loud and clear. Would you mind bringing more tomorrow, Toko-san? He looks at her and sees her eyes brimming with tears, but they're gone before he has time for horror, and she leans over and hugs him. And in her arms, he suddenly feels very safe. And very, very small. Of course, Takashi-kun, she whispers. As many as you'd like. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.